going to be talking about some work we've been doing on QTL mapping heat tolerance during reproductive development in wheat. So just a little background, why worry about heat stress? Well, wheat has a optimal daytime growing temperature of about 15 to 20 degrees Celsius. For every degree Celsius above that, you can get a theoretical loss of 3 to 4% yield loss. Above 30 degrees Celsius, grain size and milling decrease, and you start to get reduced dough strength. If you look at the maximum daily temperatures in southern Great Plains region, this is in Uvalde, Texas, during March into April into May, you get temperatures that can get into the mid upper 90s Fahrenheit, which is the period of anthesis for a lot of wheat varieties in this region. And if you take that and based on this 3 to 4% reduction in yield, theoretically you can, depending on when flowering is occurring and when grain filling is occurring, you can get anywhere from around 26% to 64% yield reduction in March through June. So many studies trying to look at heat tolerance have focused on cellular membrane stability. There's been some QTL mapping done for that in corn, and also some work done in Arabidopsis where they found a heat shock protein controlling acclimation to thermotolerance. But in general, much of what we know is limited to these heat shock proteins, how the photosynthetic apparatus are affected. A group in Kansas a few years back calculated a heat susceptibility index for 28 wheat varieties. This is based on yield reduction of the primary spike under heat stress. From this, they took a heat-tolerant variety Vintner and a susceptible variety Carl 92, crossed those, made an F3 population, and just did single marker analysis on that, found two markers linked to grain filling duration, and estimated the trait to be controlled by a minimum of 1.4 genes, which explained about 23% of the variation. And really since then, nothing has been done trying to QTL map heat tolerance, so we've decided to explore this relatively unexplored area of science. The importance of QTL mapping, many traits are quantitative in nature, yield, quality, abiotic and biotic stresses, and most of these traits, the real problem is that they're really difficult or expensive to phenotype. So through QTL mapping, work towards marker-assisted selection, also the potential identification of important genes and gene networks, and heat tolerance definitely fits into this category of trait. So the outline for the rest of my talk is basically a rundown of the steps for QTL mapping, and starts with the characterization of parental phenotypes, population development, and analysis of the variation within recombinant inbred lines or other segregating populations, genotypic analysis using simple sequence repeat markers in our case, and finally development of genetic linkage map and QTL mapping. So for this study, one heat tolerant and two heat susceptible varieties were characterized. Halbert is a Australian spring wheat variety. It's heat tolerant, and Cutter and Carl 92 are both U.S. Hard red winter wheat varieties that have been shown to be susceptible based on the literature in the case of Carl 92 and also analysis in our lab in the case of Cutter and tolerance of Halbert. So just a little background on the plant culture and treatments. Following vernalization, plants were planted in an air-conditioned greenhouse. 20 replications of each cultivar were planted, 10 control and 10 heat, and supplied with necessary nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Upon emergence of the primary spike, it was tagged at the day of pollination. 10 days after that, plants were transferred into environmentally controlled growth chambers where they received a short-term heat regime of 38 degrees 38 and 18 day-night heat and a 20 and 18 degrees Celsius day-night for control temperatures for 3 days. So the effect, we're trying to look at the effect of a short 3 day spike in temperature, which is what we see in the areas of Texas. So following treatment, the plants were returned to the greenhouse until maturity. They were hand harvested and threshed, and we looked at traits for both the primary spike, which received that specific heat treatment at 10 days after pollination, and also the whole plant characteristics. We looked at kernel weight, kernel number, single kernel weight, and kernel weight and kernel number per spikes at the whole plant level. So looking at the data from this, you have in red you have control reps, and in orange you have the heat stress reps. So in both, looking at first at the primary head, you see a significant reduction in total kernel weight in both Carl 92 and Cutter. And then you break that into kernel number and single kernel weight, and you see significant reductions in kernel number in Cutter, and large reductions in Carl 92 in both kernel number and single kernel weight. Not significant at the 0.05 level, though. Looking at the whole plant, again, you see significant reductions in total kernel weight, reductions in kernel number also, and single kernel weight in kernel 92. No significant reductions were seen in spike number between heat stress and control plants. Kernel 92 did show some reductions in kernel number per spike and kernel weight per spike, which weren't significant in this experiment, though. So just to sum up this section, in the primary head, significant reductions were seen in total kernel weight, kernel number, in both Cutter and Carl 92. At the whole plant level, you saw significant reductions in kernel weight, kernel number, and single kernel weight in both the susceptible varieties, but no significant reductions were seen in any traits observed in heat-tolerant Halbert. From there, we developed a small population of recombinant inbred lines, 64 F5 common inbred lines from a Halbert by Cutter cross. Treatment for these was the same as the parents, and heat tolerance was calculated based on a percent reduction of yield traits in the control versus heat stress plants. So you took, say, kernel number of the control minus kernel number of the heat divided by the level of control, took the inverse of that to get your as a score for the phenotypic value of heat tolerance. And these histograms just kind of look at the distribution of reduction in these recombinant inbred lines. And those came out kind of dark, but the you see fairly normal distribution of most traits. The yellow arrows represent where the parents fall. And as seen between the parents, when you look at single kernel weight, there's not a whole lot of variation there within the parents or within the population. Looking at the whole plant, similar results, fairly normal distributions of reduction, and again, single kernel weight is not a whole lot of variation there. So for most traits, fairly normal distribution was observed. Deviation from the normal is most likely due to small population size. And there is some transgressive segregation observed. Seems to be most prominent when you look at the whole plant phenotype, and this could be due to both favorable and non-favorable heat tolerant alleles being present in both Halbert and Cutter. Both are varieties. Neither of them are complete dogs. So thirdly is the genotyping. We took 623 SSR primer sets from a consensus map developed by Daryl Summers, and genotyped Halbert by Cutter, or the parents Halbert and Cutter for polymorphisms. And these were PCR products were viewed on 3% SFR agarose gels and or 6% polyacrylamide gels with ethidium bromide. And we saw a fairly high rate of polymorphism, around 38% for these parents. And from those polymorphic markers, 180 were selected to map on the recombinant inbred lion population. Mapmaker EXP was used to develop the linkage map, and two or three markers with known locations from other consensus maps were anchored to chromosomes, and then the assign, try, and ripple commands were used to add markers to that framework. Some unlinked markers were added manually or at lower LOD values based on previous maps, and the Kasami mapping function was used to calculate genetic distances. This is just an overview of the genetic linkage map. In all, 161 markers were included, and the centimorgan distance and marker interval is a little bit large, mostly due to large gaps present on some chromosomes. And since it was a preliminary mapping, I wanted to include as many markers as possible, not throw out a bunch of markers. So there is some gaps present that will have to be cleaned up. Finally, the QTL mapping. For each trait and recombinant inbred line, an average percent reduction was calculated, and this value was used for measurement of heat tolerance. It was used for QTL mapping. Composite interval mapping was done with QTL cartographer using a LOD threshold of 2.5 to declare QTL, and some of the images are created using a program called MapChart. Just a summary of QTL that were identified. If you look at, there was a fair bit of the total variation explained for most traits, and some major QTL getting up around 30% of the variation were identified. You had, if you look at, one interesting thing was if you look at the kernel number traits versus kernel weight traits, in the kernel number, fewer QTL seem to explain more of the variation. So for kernel number in the main spike, you saw you had three QTL that explained 68% of the variation versus eight for kernel weight explaining only 45%. When you get into the whole plant, things get a little more difficult. There were 10 QTL identified for the whole plant reduction in kernel weight, and explaining over 100% of the variation, which I don't know why that would be, but it's possibly due to overestimation of QTL effects, and it's going to have to be looked at in more depth. Looking at single kernel weight traits, not a lot of QTL identified for those, not a lot of variation present within the population, so it, just looking at a snapshot of, this is chromosome 4A, 4B, and 4D, which have been shown to be important for drought, for stress-related abiotic stresses, drought stress. And so you see some stacking of QTL traits for kernel number and kernel weight traits. Over on 4D, there's a QTL for kernel weight and stacked with a QTL for epicuticular wax, which is another thing we're looking at in our lab. So you get some stacking of QTLs. So you have all these QTLs. What do they mean? How can you use them? One thing you can do is do a contrast analysis where you take a QTL, you look at its flanking markers and the alleles present in the population. Does it have the allele homozygous for Halbert, homozygous for the susceptible cutter? So we did this, and if you, this is a QTL on the lower arm here. If you look at the flanking markers, under control conditions, the mean kernel number are pretty even, pretty close. When you look at percent reduction, those having the A allele from heat tolerant Halbert show basically no reduction in kernel number. Those having the allele from cutter show around a 7% reduction on average at both markers. Okay, this is my last slide. Just a summary, major QTL were identified for most traits, with for some the total variation explained being higher. Fewer number of QTL appear to be controlling reduction in kernel number versus kernel weight. And just in general, looking at the literature and our results, chromosomal regions appear to be consistent with previous stress-related QTL. And just future work. We're currently looking at a larger population of halibut bicutter, recombinant inbred lines, to move into larger populations, trying to get from the greenhouse to the field, some multiple location planting, and correlation with gene expression. So thank you. Take any of your questions if there's time.